here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's Midday host Andy and Randy at a combined 12 feet 3 inches and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Smokin' Joe Patrick joins us every Friday at 11:40 to talk Falcons. First hour of the show, as always, brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. I will say, I think Joe's doing fine in the age category, but I have seen his face a lot more just because of the podcast.
Yeah,
you know?
Man.
Just a lot of like little clips of Joe's face close up.
Yes.
Talking Falcons football, yes. Coming across my timeline.
Yes. We got to figure out the length, the spacing between the screen and your face, Joe.
Yeah, how do you decide that? Because it feels like you're really close to the camera.
Does it really? I feel like I'm farther away than most people whose heads take
maybe
up most
go
of
further
the
back.
Frame.
Yeah,
really?
maybe go further
little,
back.
A little less Joe. You want a little less Joe?
A little smaller? Just a longer, you know, camera angle of it.
Little
further back. Maybe blur it.
Everybody's a critic.
I'm just kidding. You're looking great. Hey, training camp starts next week. Obviously, we'll see you out there. We'll all be out there on Thursday at Flowery Branch. What are some of the big storylines that are on your mind as training camp starts up next week?
You know, there's always storylines every training camp. And one that I'm really looking forward to is what kind of crisis is happening at the bunker house. I feel like every training camp, there's like something that's going wrong at your house where you're like frantically calling your wife to try to get somebody to the house to get it sorted out. You know, some repairman's coming to fix whatnot.
So last year rat apocalypse?
I'm really looking forward to seeing whatever it is.
A couple years ago, I had a migraine. Remember that?
Yeah.
I only had one migraine my whole life. I had to get a steroid shot. That was crazy.
Oh, man. Training camp's always exciting, and I think that it's going to be more exciting this year than ever before for a couple reasons. One, there's been, you know, the fans haven't been out there for a while. They obviously missed last year, so it's going to be great to have them back out. And that's going to add an energy. Guys, you know, this is kind of like inside baseball or whatnot, talking about, you know, meta stuff with regards to the media. But it was much more boring for me personally, I got to say, without the fans out there to be able to just people watch and things like that. Not that I'm not focusing on the players, but really excited for that, just first and foremost. But obviously, the other thing that makes this training camp exciting is that you have two first-round draft picks who are going to be out there in an area of need for this Falcons team that has obviously been, like, they've been desperate for a pass rush that both of these players should hopefully be helping. And Jalen, they're a little bit different in terms of what we're going to be looking out for. I'm interested to see if Jalen Walker is used in some other roles outside of the edge. Jeff Ulbrich had indicated in the offseason after he was drafted that they were going to go edge, edge, edge with Jalen Walker, and I certainly expect him to start out there. But I do wonder if we see him trained at all in some stand-up stuff like he did at Georgia, so that will be interesting. And then to just see how effective he and James Pierce Jr. are against some of these, you know, NFL tackles. And I say that because I remember Arnold Ebiketie's rookie year. That was my first year covering the team. And you could immediately see that I think that he had some struggles just dealing with the physical profiles that you start to see at the NFL level, especially against like starting NFL offensive tackles. They're the biggest, strongest, best footwork kinds of players that they will have basically ever gone up against to this point in their career. So how do they deal with that? I think it'll be very telling. And then there's obviously all the other battles. You know, there's going to be an interesting battle that happens for that nickel spot that I think the coaching staff wants Billy Bowman to win, but we'll see. You know, there's veterans there that are going to be there for it. Xavier Watts, can he win the starting job out of training camp at the safety spot next to Jesse Bates? All along this defense, there's basically jobs to be won, and so it'll be very exciting to see the players battle for those.
JP, you anticipate anybody coming in with a PUP designation?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, the ones that were missing time over the offseason were Kyle Pitts, who he's been, like, you know, putting some pictures out there on Instagram of, like, the Falcons locker room and stuff, basically saying he's ready. So I think that we'll see him. Kayla McGarry was also missing. I wouldn't expect that to be major, so I would expect him to be there. I think the one that could start on PUP could be Troy Anderson. He, you know, obviously had his injury issues last year. Ultimately, they sat him down after that Minnesota game, after they tried to bring him back for a couple games, and that knee just kept on acting up on him. Have seen pictures of him and stuff working out, but he, again, has not practiced with the team. I did see him out there during OTAs, like with the linebackers group, like while they were going through individuals and things like that on the field, but obviously not padded up. I think he's the most interesting one because he has a starting role, a very important role on this Falcons defense. And, you know, I actually just highlighted him on a podcast that I did talking about how he's like really one of the make or break players for this defense. Like, we know what we're going to get from the stars, from the Jesse Bates, the AJ Terrells, those types of players. But it's like some of these key players like Troy Anderson, Ruka Roro, like these are the types of players that can really swing this Falcons defense one way or another. So it'll be interesting to see how he progresses during training camp.
Yeah, I mean, with Troy Anderson, it almost feels a little bit like the Jalen Johnson conversation with the Hawks, right?
It's like
when he's out there, he is good, and we've seen him do some really nice things. He just tends to not be out there, which is a bug, because this is going to be his fourth year, right?
Like, yeah, he's going into the last year of his rookie deal.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. It's a
really
second-round draft pick.
Big year for him to be healthy and show some stuff. If he's not, I mean, it's been a bunch of different guys who have filled in. Who is it? Like, if he's not able to be out there at the beginning of the season, who plays that position?
I think there's two pretty clear linebacker profiles in terms of the stand-up linebackers on this team, and one of them is that Mike linebacker, which is Caden Ellis, and he'll be backed up by J.D. Bertrand, who was the draft pick last year. And then I think at the other linebacker spot, I think it's Troy Anderson as the starter, but you could also say that Divine Diablo, considering the money that he signed for, about, I think, $7 million per year, I think he'll make $8 million the first year and $6 million the second. You know, that's basically starting linebacker money in this league nowadays. So I think that, you know, if Troy Anderson does start on PUP, then I actually think you would say that Divine Diablo is kind of, you know, comes in basically as the starter. And Raheem Morris, I asked him about Divine Diablo earlier in offseason, and he just talked him up as much as he possibly could, and saying he could wear the green dot for this team because he kind of is that smart and aware of stuff. He's a converted safety, so he's not like a run stuffer, but that's what Troy Anderson is. He's the kind of linebacker that you need to chase down some of these mobile quarterbacks and kind of get east-west and cover some of that ground that, you know, these Mike linebackers struggle to do a little bit more. So I think Divine Diablo will be another key player. And also, you know, this is where the Jalen Walker conversation kind of gets started. Do you need him to be trained to also be one of those guys who can be that kind of quarterback spy and one of those guys who can just make plays on the edges?
What string will Kirk Cousins be at the start of camp?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he'll be the second string quarterback, but I think the interesting conversation is,
what's that going to look like?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how many reps is he taking, you know, particularly in the preseason games?
Is he going to play
in the preseason games? Is Michael Penix going to play much in the preseason games? If neither of those players are playing much in the preseason games, who the heck is going to be playing quarterback for the Falcons? Probably Easton Stick, getting like all four quarters of action. I could see Raheem Morris doing that, honestly.
I could too.
But the other thing is
pay full price to get in the building.
Do they want to put Kirk
in
the shop window at all? Like in some of these preseason games, you know? I don't know if that's necessarily a thing because teams know who Kirk is at this point, and if they have an injury and they feel like they need him, they know exactly where to get him. But I also think this team is obviously comfortable with him as the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that makes for a weird situation, both in camp and then in the preseason games. But, yeah, I think that's probably what it'll be. Luckily for the Falcons, or I guess maybe not, because sometimes this happens when you have, like, excellent high-end players, contract disputes. Luckily, they don't have any right now. Who's a guy that a year from now you could see if things go well for him or whatever? A contract situation coming up next offseason could potentially have a contract issue.
Well, I think the most interesting one is Caleb McGarry. And I still wonder if it's one of the reasons, you know, they said it was not like an unexcused absence. It was an excused absence for him basically to not be at minicamp and didn't appear at OTAs or anything. But he's going into the last year of his contract, and he is, you know, an offensive tackle who's protecting now the blind side of this quarterback. And I think the Falcons are in a situation where, you know, obviously Caleb McGarry was brought in to be a mauler in the run game and not protecting the blind side of a quarterback at that point in time. So are the Falcons comfortable with him as that blind side tackle? Does that depend on what they see from him this year? Or if he's not, you know, what does that mean for them? Like, do they go out and have to, you know, they don't have a first round pick, so they can't just, you know, draft a premium tackle And these kinds of tackles don't really hit the free agent market that often. So I think that will be a very interesting one. And then obviously the situation with Drake London, and it's less about like, are the Falcons going to sign him? But, you know, how painful is the wait, basically? You know, how long is this thing going to get drawn out? Obviously, Garrett Wilson just got his big deal. Those guys came out in the same draft class and have produced kind of similarly but on different timelines. And I think that it's probably smart from Drake's perspective to let this thing play out, because now he's finally in an advantageous position as a wide receiver with the quarterback that he's got, where he really was kind of playing with a hand behind, tied behind his back with some of the quarterback play that he had earlier in his career. So that will be an interesting one to see get done. But I'm sure, I know how important he is. Obviously, everybody does for the Falcons, and I'm sure that they're going to want to lock him up long term.
If you were the Falcons, because I said this, I said sign him right now. Would you? You know more about the money and all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know who it might have been the Jay Lorenzo thing. You said they got the money.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a situation where there is the money there, if you were making the decision, would you lock him up right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would, and I think the Falcons probably would too. If I had to guess, I think that this is probably Drake not wanting to yet sign a deal, because I think that, you know, if he feels like he can put up another top five, you know, year in terms of receiving yards like he did last year coming in fourth, then he can just push his price up even further. And the Falcons will have money. They're not going to sign Kyle Pitts to a long-term deal. Obviously, him being in his last year, Kirk Cousins' money will fall off. And I do wonder if they're able to trade Kirk, or if they do that and then free up money, could they then sign Drake to a contract that front-loads it and puts a lot more of that money that was going to Kirk basically to Drake in the front, and make that contract age a lot better as it continues to go. But there's a lot of different ways that the Falcons can play this thing with the cap situation.
Well, they love to announce a contract extension right at the beginning of training camp.
I know it happens with
a lot of teams. But they love to do it with, like, you know, a player like that. AJ Terrell's been there, Lindstrom. And guys like that, where it's sort of just you start training camp with, like, a positive story, right? Mm, like something for fans to be excited about, and you reward a guy who's played well and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Is that something that we could see next week? Drake London gets a contract and it gets announced, like, you know, Wednesday night, so we can all talk about it on Thursday?
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. And I'm sure that – I bet the Falcons hope so, too. But, again, if it's just – if I'm just reading the tea leaves, I feel like the reason why it hasn't happened even to this point is probably on Drake's side, because the Falcons are obviously love everything that he brings to the table. And it's not just the receiving yards and the production on the field, but it's everything that he brings to the locker room with the personality that he has, that competitive spirit. Frankly, it's one of the reasons I think they preferred him over some of these other receivers, because of where they were at that point in their rebuild. They really liked kind of the attitude that he brings, and that's not something they're going to want to part with, but it's just a matter of how soon they can get that done. Again, how painful is this wait, both for the Falcons and for the Falcons fans?
Well, the wait of the offseason is about to be over, starting on Thursday when we are at Flowery Branch. Joe, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Pretty JP.
Smoking Joe Patrick there.